Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world. Welcome to the show. It's the Wodcast, the Writers, Actors, Directors Podcast, episode number 94. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Didn't ask you. I was asking the people at home.
Oh, wow.
I'm wow. Josh, joined as always by the most sensitive person that I know.
Yeah, Josh Brandon. Is over here joshing with me.
You're so sensitive these days. Are you pregnant?
Hi. No, but you know what? I was going to make a joke, but Danielle would kill me. We had a scare briefly today. But I am not pregnant. I am actually very unpregnant. Yeah, pregnant with emotion. I'm happy to be here, Josh. We're minus a special guest today. We had an awesome return of special guests, although she didn't really return. But we had Kelly last week, who was a fantastic guest for us. I think we both can say we enjoyed having her on the show.
I'd throw in the top five immediately.
Absolutely, yeah. She was really cool, laid back. And it's great to, especially if you've heard something about someone, it's always great to really, I guess, get to know them. Mm-hmm. I've heard so many great things about Kelly through her sister, Shanna. So it was phenomenal to get to know more about Kelly and actually get to know what her career is like. So, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I will say this, not just for Kelly, but every special guest we have on our show, whether it's Kelly, my absolute, like the one person I ever fangirled over, which was Matt, or, you know, like anyone, Mark, Eddie, Justin, Sue, to all of our special guests, Brian, I've got to say, you guys make this show so special for me. You really do. It's, I know that we don't have much of a system, and Josh and I, going on a show with us is probably about the same as having a conversation with someone with dementia. But two people with dementia. But your attendance is always appreciated. And all of you guys, so far, all of our guests are always welcome back for a second round in the ring with us. And just to hang out. So, Kelly.
Except when you come back, you have to get your own damn drink because you're not a guest anymore. You're family.
Yeah, you know the damn fridge is okay.
Sue knows what's up.
She does. But yeah, aside from that, it's been a great week. It's been busy, but it's been good. I no longer have COVID, but I'm still dealing with the, you know, sore arm of COVID from the muscular, soreness that it causes. But
I had an idea, Brandon.
What?
Okay, you might recognize this.
I do.
And I have been utilizing it now for show purposes, of course. It's where I keep our handy dandy little codes for TV, you know, Blu-ray digital stuff to give away.
And you know what? Then you keep that there. And I'll keep the guys right behind me up there with me. And I will utilize the display cases for our Funko Pops that I went to West Hollywood to get. That I stood in line for an hour and a half. And then waited another hour or so before I actually was given them. And then drove an hour back home. I'll keep those. But we do have to make more. Honestly, Josh, let me ask you this. I mentioned the idea of either a coffee mug or a t-shirt for our special guests. Which one's more practical. Not everyone's a coffee person, and everyone has their own style. But I don't think there's many shows actually supply like a Funko Pop of their guests.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. I can't think of anybody that does.
Now, they're expensive. But looking at the expenses, though, for me, I think ours cost me $50 total. $50 for both with a display case.
Okay.
So if I were to start going and getting Funko Pops of our guests, just taking a picture of them, being a creep, saving it to my phone and going off of what I see in my phone, and then making a Funko Pop of them, I think it'd be a damn good present to send people. Like, just like, hey, thank you for being on our show.
Like, have a sticker that says Wodcast episode number guest.
Yeah. And I mean, it would be a sticker. It would actually be like how with ours, let me grab, say, like yours right here is closer.
Okay.
Where it says, like, sorry, you can see it right there.
Oh, yeah.
Josh, the Wodcast, and all that stuff. But have like episode whatever underneath of it and have their Funko Pop. Now, it would only be better if we could get them specially made, which is possible. You and I both looked into this for our own selfish gains with our figures. I think it'd be pretty, you know, fucking badass to send to these people. There's my one per episode.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give that one like a 2 out of 10. Just kind of
the weird. Idea?
No, the F-bomb.
Oh, cool. So I get another one.
No.
So if I say ucking, how about I say ucking? Instead of like the F word, I say ucking.
Okay, sure.
F-ucking. There we go. See, that's not swearing. F-ucking.
You could say fork.
Yeah, I'll slip up.
The good place, you know.
I'll slip up. I'm not a good actor, but speaking of which, that brings us into tonight's show is actors.
Actors. We talk about those.
Yes. And we actually rarely actually speak about actors.
Specifically.
Yes. Now, that being the case, there are actors in Hollywood who have, right? That's skated by for years. And all they do is they play who they are as people. They embellish who they are, and they make it more interesting and intense. Seth Rogen. Now, I posted the picture on the Facebook page earlier. But we make them more intense and interesting in cinema. So Danny McBride, Seth Rogen, Zach Galifianakis. Adam Sandler before he got like more, I want to say like more serious roles. Chris Farley. I love Chris Farley. I've always adored Chris Farley, but he's one of them. David Spade, Rob Schneider. These are guys who have gained a fruitful career either in the past or present. And all they've done is just really play themselves as caricatures, I guess. Bill Murray is always Bill Murray. He's always Bill Murray. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's Bill Murray. Could be a serious and more profound movie, but he is still Bill Murray. Right? So that being the case, there are these actors that have skated by. So tonight's episode is dedicated to those actors where we discuss them and the points in which they actually surprised us. In their performances, where they actually like delivered a profound performance as more than what they were predestined, I guess, by the industry to be. Mm-hmm. So, and the first one on my list will always be the first one on my list is Jim Carrey. Now, he's had an array of roles. His slapstick roles vastly outweigh the more serious ones.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. While there is still insanely awesome acting and fun with Dick and Jane. I still look at that as like a slapstick role of Jim Carrey's.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber, Dumb and Dumber 2, Ace Ventura 1 and 2.
Funny faces, he's been a little body comedy, that kind of stuff.
Yes. But then you have movies like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
One of my favorites.
The Majestic, which is a phenomenal film. The Truman Show. Huh?
Is it a cameo from Bruce Campbell in The Majestic?
Yes, yes. You have all these movies that he's done that are just insanely awesome. But you have things like Eternal Sunshine, where he's this very serious role.
Yeah.
It's not comedy. The Majestic, there are funny points, but it's not a comedy role. And his announcement, that speech he gave to the government at the end of the movie, when he's holding up the guy's mouth that he's, you know, believed to be. It's such a powerful moment. And going on, The Truman Show, it's a movie about a guy who just wants to be free. The man has been a slave his entire life. He's been a slave to entertainment. That's all his life is. The whole thing has been a mind F-uck, right?
Total mind fork, yes.
Yes, mind fork. There we go. That's actually, you know, fork sounds better. You're right. It's been a mind fork. So the entire movie has been this guy that's been screwed with his entire life.
Yeah.
And he starts realizing something is off. But his desperation builds and builds and builds and builds. And that's what makes the movie so special. And his performance in that is even more astounding. But, I mean, look, it is what it is, guys. Comment, chime in. Whatever your favorite Jim Carrey film is, let us know. But yeah, like the show tonight is about like the best dramatic performances from otherwise, you know, just
people.
Yeah, exactly. One note actors or actresses. So,
you know, it's funny.
What do you have?
This is what we're talking about because I just watched Hustle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I've not seen it yet, but I've heard really good things.
Oh, it's good. No, no doubt about it. It's good. But he also, much like Jim Carrey, except without the renown, right? He built his career off the back of SNL and something that you didn't see a lot, comedy sketch albums.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when he goes like, yeah, his, he had a few of them, like back in the 90s. He actually had a bunch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was... Oh, I memorized all of those sketches so hard.
What was it, like Taekwon Lee, boot to the head, right?
No.
Was that him? No. His was like the goats. He had the goat, the piece of shit car. Oh, he had a bunch, man. Yeah.
Of course, the Hanukkah song, which...
the Hanukkah, yes. Good, yes.
Let's see. Do It for Mama.
Do It for Mama.
It's he had crazy albums, and then he started doing things like, you know, Airheads, Mixed Nuts. That's one of those lesser known flicks with Adam Sandler, Steve Martin, and of course the classics. I watched Happy Gilmore yesterday, and the thing is, most of them involve Adam Sandler being, you know, an all shucks, geez, kind of guy, but you know, I get angry every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it became known for. The being able to change gears from to rah, you know, real quick. And you saw that in all over the place. And then suddenly it almost seems like Adam Sandler became a genre of movie. Because you saw other people try to make Adam Sandler movies, but there is only one.
Yeah.
And then we get Punch Drunk Love, which is a slight departure for Adam Sandler because he goes from you know, oh shucks, likable guy to you know, an introverted kind of guy. But he also has the ability to turn on like this rage machine.
Oh yeah,
the drop of a hat. That was Punch Drunk Love, and one of your favorites, Rain Over Me.
Yes, that's Rain Over Me.
I think that's
can actually. That is where Adam Sandler's. That's where Adam Sandler's finest work, in my mind. Adam Sandler's finest work was in Rain Over Me, and you know what, ladies and gentlemen, if you have never seen this movie, there is a. I'll give you a quick downplay of this movie. It is one of my top 10 films of all time. And for me to say that about like an Adam Sandler film is a big thing. It is about a man who is absolutely broken. He's gone mentally. He's dealing with grief. I think it was like 2008 or 9 the movie came out. But his wife, his kids, and their family dog were on one of the flights that went into the World Trade Center. And this man lives in New York City. He's a New Yorker. After that happened, he just checked out. So on a personal level, I identify with this person. I know what he's feeling on a smaller scale, but I know what he's feeling. Now, that being the case, this whole movie is about him reconnecting with some semblance of who he was and his former college roommate slash, I guess I would, Josh, I think I should say like probably best friend, right? In the film, and Don Cheadle, right? Best friend. Or I guess not best friend, but the one person that's not involved with the life after he got married and had these kids. They were college roommates and they fell out of contact over years. But he found out about him and he helps him get back into, I guess, something that resembles living a life. It's such a sad movie and such an amazing performance from Adam Sandler. And that courtroom scene, holy shit. There's no spoilers here. I will never spoil this movie. But if you've not seen it, go see it. It's just a phenomenal film. For someone that does not really shed much of a tear, I bawled my eyes out at this movie. It was so sad. And it's also great. It's a sad, happy film. You know?
It's available on Hulu if you want to give it a watch.
Yeah. I forgot. It's on there right now. Yeah, it's an amazing film. Now, I will say that my next actor really does surprise me from time to time, but it's Seth Rogen. I'm sorry, no, Seth. No, he's a little further down the list. Zach Galifianakis, sorry. I'll save Seth for later. But Zach Galifianakis. Okay. All of his movies, he is the same character, right? Damn near the same character. He's like this wide-eyed child of a man in all of his movies. Like this innocent moron. That's what he always plays. The only time I've ever seen him play anything differently was in Campaign and Out Cold back in like 2000, 2001, whatever it was, his early on career. But he's never really been more than that. But when he was in Due Date with Robert Downey Jr., there was a scene where Robert Downey Jr. was urging him to flex his acting muscles. You know, Zach Galifianakis plays his actor in Due Date. Aspiring actor, rather, going to Hollywood to make it as an actor. And in a truck stop bathroom, Robert Downey Jr. tells him, like, oh, well, your wife calls during the big game of a football game and you're getting a divorce. And the first few times he did this, it was funny because it was just him being a, you know, shitty actor. But you see the scene in this movie where he finds out that she's leaving him. This fictional wife, who is fictional in this movie, does not exist. He's acting. He portrays this wife leaving him, talking about how much he needs her and starts getting emotional, and then says, Daddy, please don't leave me. And then his character in the movie was a guy on his way to get rid of his dad's ashes, spread his dad's ashes. His dad in the movie was his biggest supporter. Yep. This is a character in this movie who is so distraught by grief, but works so hard to overcome it with humor and to, you know, disguise it in some other way that I guess he deems socially acceptable, while he himself is not anywhere close to being socially acceptable. But the scene when he breaks down and cries, dude, I was in the theater watching this shit, like bawling my ass out with him. Like, it's such an amazing scene where he really breaks down and he storms out of this bathroom and slams the door behind him. And you see Robert Downey Jr. in his acting prowess, who can play anyone from Iron Man to, you know, Robert Duvall's son in The Judge, mm-hmm. to this character in this comedy film, this, you know, awkward buddy road trip comedy, like, I guess somewhat reminiscent of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. But he just, his reaction to it, even without Robert Downey Jr., I think Zach Galifianakis' performance would have been amazing. I was shocked. I'm like, my God, he is actually a great actor. I was not expecting to see that in a film with him in it. So yeah, I teared up.
You're saying Zach Galifianakis, great actor.
Yeah. I honestly, I would have like just kind of rolled my eyes a few years back before I saw Duty, but yeah, he's a great actor. He really is.
Didn't expect to hear those words.
But the thing is, he's kept in this box based off of what he's usually made to do. So, right.
So does that mean it's my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to go with one of the original names that pops up in my head when a topic like this is, you know, brought about. Robin Williams.
Oh, God, yeah.
We got a guy that is forking Mork from Ork, right? And goes on to become an Academy Award winner.
Yep.
For acting, mind you. Because they give Academy Awards out to pretty much.
And dude, Good Will Hunting, man. Like, shit. The Dead Poets Society.
While those movies are tremendous examples of Robin Williams acting, I this is going to sound like sacrilege, but Dead Poets Society maybe less so, because he still has that zany side of him, right?
To an extent, yes. I'll say that, yes.
The inspirational teacher that is still kind of funny, but I'd say, yes, Good Will Hunting is a movie where he leaves his traditional comedy out. But some of the other things that I most think of him, you know, when it comes to Robin Williams being a great actor, 1 Hour Photo.
Oh, God, yes.
That was crazy intense.
Death to Smoochie.
It takes what we already know and love about him and
makes it rated R.
And then, let's see, what was that one movie? Final Cut? Yes, Final Cut.
Yes, I think. Yes, I think
editing so. People's memories posthumously.
Yes, yes. It was that really that movie did not get like anywhere near the amount of attention it should have.
No. But
can we also talk about Robin Williams in CSI?
Sure. I don't think I saw that.
You never saw that? Mm-mm. Wow. Okay. Well, Robin Williams in CSI. Not CSI. What was it? The Law and Order. Law and Order.
Oh, yeah. Where he was calling up the places and making people do stuff.
Yes. He'd call up them, make them do stuff. And then when he goes to court, he fights it in court, but he's so brilliant. But then when he has the detective strapped down after he captures him, he's like forcing him to choose whether or not to torture his partner. Or else, I forget what, it's been years since I've seen it. It's like 2007 or 8 that I saw this. Mm-hmm. But when the detective decides no, he commends him and says, you're a man, you're not a sheep. You think for yourself. And then like, and he talked, but like the way he said it, like push the button, he's like just, he's screaming at him. You see like a man in agony. Insomnia, Josh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's
you missed insomnia. I was hoping that you'd say that
one. I didn't miss it. You interrupted.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'll shut up. Love but you.
Yes. Insomnia. Also an amazing performance by Robin Williams. I'm going to mention two more titles before passing it over to you. So if you're keeping track at home, these are things that if you haven't watched, you should watch. First, I'm going to say the Angriest Man in Brooklyn.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And finally, an unlikely candidate for one of my favorite directors helmed this one. And that was Bobcat Goldthwait.
I know what you're talking about.
Robin Williams in World's Greatest Dad.
Yep.
Talk about such a messed up movie.
Such a sad movie. And it's very dark considering what happened like just like a few short years later, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I watched it pre, you know, that.
Yeah.
So it didn't have that darkness looming over it. And but it really turned me on to Bobcat Goldthwait as director, and I have enjoyed immensely all of his feature films.
And for those of you who have not seen Dad of the Year, or I'm sorry, World's Greatest Dad, it is about a man who finds his son dead in his closet.
And the son's a complete douchebag.
Oh, the son's a dickhead. Hates his dad in the movie, in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But he finds his son dead in his closet, in his son's closet, from asphyxiation. He hangs himself with a belt while he's, you know, just
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yes. So he's jacking off, hangs David himself, Carradine. Kills him. Yeah, David Carradine himself. And then Robin Williams creates this person that was not his son. And releases this fake journal about how great Robin Williams is as a dad. But he does this out of grief. Out of grief and regrets. He does this. I think
you're remembering a different movie.
Was that why he released the...
He wrote...
The notes. That's right. The note. Not the journal. The note. I'm sorry. I said journal.
And everyone was... Because Robin Williams played a writer.
Yeah, and he never expected it to actually blow up the way it did.
That was like the greatest thing he'd ever written, and it's the only thing he'll ever be known for. And nobody knows that he wrote it. So it becomes this big story, and he's seen as this amazing father for having to go through this. And it's quite a ride.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a good movie. It really is. It's sad as shit, but it's a good movie.
No, and what dreams may come.
Huh?
I said, and what dreams may come.
Oh, God. Well, it's Robin Williams. There's so many, man. Robin Williams is such a... He was, rather, such a profound actor. Then 2014, when he took his own life, the world lost so much with his death.
Yeah.
Like, that man was such a pure heart of a person. From everyone that's ever worked with him or dealt with him, he was like the sweetest guy in the world. He's one of three people that passed away that I regret never having met. But I've heard nothing but the absolute best things about him. But, and there's one person, actually, next on the list, my list, rather, that gets the same notes as far as creativity and being a great person. And you never expect who it is. But it's Danny McBride.
Okay.
This guy's career is based on playing this vulgar asshole that just does not care about anyone or anything but himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very self-sufficient, very self-pleasing. I mean, like, you know, emotionally and physically at times in movies. But the only thing I can think of where he actually stepped outside that role for like a few minutes was Eastbound and Down. If you watch his show, you'll actually see him in moments where he is emotionally troubled. And you see him acting for like a second, you're like, wow, this guy has so much talent. He is torn in this decision he's got to make. One would solve the entire series because it was a TV show, and the other would keep it going. And obviously, the worst one is the one that's going to keep it going. That's how writing works. Make the worst decisions, keep the story moving forward. But when he has to make these decisions, these calls, you see this look on his face like he is honestly struggling with his own, I don't know, his own mental health. He's struggling at times with his own ego. He's trying to be a better person this entire series. Mm-hmm. He's failing horribly most times, but he's trying. Outside that, Danny McBride and everything else I've seen him in is very Danny McBride. You don't see much of a serious, even like an Alien Covenant. You don't see him doing anything more than like being Danny McBride. And that's a damn horror sci-fi movie. Sucks, but it's, you know.
That's the thing about having a guy like that. You can plug that kind of character in almost anywhere. And if you have a guy that can do it perfectly, then you hire him.
Yeah.
There is always going to be a major call for, you know, a smart ass in a movie. And this guy nails it.
Yep. Every time.
Every single time. No, never fails.
But yeah, but who's yours? Your next one.
My next one's Tom Hanks.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just got forced to watch You've Got Mail tonight. So, yeah, it's – yeah, I agree with you. Go ahead.
The man started off doing not Jim Carrey-esque comedy from the 80s, but it was very 80s comedy, you know?
Yeah.
There was, you know, Bachelor Party, Joe versus the Volcano, where it's just this guy who is just overwhelmed by – circumstances going on around him. Happens all the time in the 80s, right?
Yep.
And one of the key things you can expect from an early Tom Hanks performance is, you know, you know, a little bit of a freak out.
And yeah, every one of his movies, there's always a freak out.
Big being, I think, my personal favorite. From
Oh, God. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And then...
I like Turner and Hooch.
And then Philadelphia.
Yep. Okay. But we're leaving, like, a League of Their Own. his freak out over, like, there's no crying in baseball.
That, come on. It's still Tom Hanks.
I know, yeah.
From that era. He's just a little bit older. And his freakouts were, I guess if you want to say he added alcoholic to his repertoire, sure.
Was he? Really?
Jimmy Dugan? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But as far as drama goes, we had Philadelphia. That was, I would say, the pivot point for his career. And next thing you know, yep, the 90s, we're getting Save It, Private Ryan, Apollo 13. We're getting Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what, won 2 Oscars?
In like 4 years, yeah.
And nominated maybe 3 times in a row?
Yep.
Went for a three-peat, but didn't quite nail it. Tom Hanks is the, you know, if you had a Mount Rushmore of not only of actors, but of people that were able to break away from their earlier typecasts, he would be there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
One of the top guys to leave behind that phase of his life. And you're right, though. I skipped him going from, you know, overwhelmed 80s guy comedy to early 90s rom-com guy.
Yeah. But
I figured it was such a minute step that I'd go straight for the jugular with,
yeah,
Philadelphia. Tom Hanks is the epitome of what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's great. I will have, actually, you know what? I want to change up Seth Rogen. Because I feel like the next, like, 20 minutes, we can talk about both, like, my next one and your next one before we close the show out. But Seth Rogen, I will give him, like, an honorary mention. If you've not seen American Pickle, see it. If you've not seen Funny People, see it. Seth Rogen, I will say, is a very underestimated talent in acting. I think he's great. But my next one that I have to close my end of this show out on is Bill Hader. Bill Hader is someone who, in everything I've seen him in for years, was nothing more than Bill Hader. In anything he was in, it was Bill Hader. SNL, Bill Hader, right? All the Judd Apatow films he was in that were produced by Judd Apatow, he was Bill Hader. Even like, you know, Superbad as a cop, Bill Hader. Adventureland, Bill Hader. All these movies, Bill Hader. He's just Bill Hadering it up. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, same thing. Then I saw 2 things. It's Chapter 2, but more importantly, Barry. If you guys have never seen Barry, holy shit. Bill Hader's acting chops are on full display, and he lays it out. He's written and directed a good portion of these episodes. And he's acted in them as well. And while being the writer, the director, and the actor, the Wad and Wadcast, he has excelled to such a higher level to me as an actor. He's just killed it. Absolutely rocked the shit out of his career. And for those of you that are not familiar with Barry, you know, first off, we're three seasons in right now. It wrapped the 3rd season. The 4th season is coming out next year sometime. The 4th and final season. But he's a hitman that discovers his love for acting and wants to leave his old life behind. He doesn't want to be what he used to be, but it's such an integral part of his fiber that he cannot escape it while he's trying to be better than what he used to be. And you see how some of the people that he kills in the series, you see how they haunt him. You see the toll that it takes on his every ounce of his well-being. How it makes him grow and how it also makes him, like, you know, I guess, fall back in growth. But it's such an amazing show. It really is. Bill Hader, like, I mean, like, oh yeah, man. Like, I'm glued to the screen with every episode.
You can tell there's almost for Henry Winkler too.
Oh yeah, no, Henry Winkler is amazing this show. But there's a scene. You want to throw in the spoiler thing in case some people have not watched the first season ever in their life?
All right, here's how this works. I am about to throw up the spoiler tag if you're watching it. While the spoiler banner is going across the bottom of the screen, there will be spoilers. If you're listening to the audio version, we will give you, we'll say 60 seconds. 60 there seconds, go. Good enough? Okay. So starting it in 3, 2, 1, spoilers.
There we go. All right. So in season one, he and some of his friends from the military, along with like a, I guess like someone that they hire, they go to do this job and they pull it off barely by the skin of the teeth. They pull it off. Afterwards, his friend, having shot and killed multiple people in this job, this guy was never deployed. He never spent time in a war zone as military. He and Barry served together, but he never went overseas with Barry to serve. He's struggling. He's a husband. He's a father. And he tells Barry that he's going to go to the police, which forces Barry to have to kill someone that he loves as much as he does. After that, he goes to his play, I think that night, Josh, right? He goes to his play that night or the night after, but he's struggling with this guilt.
Yeah.
And it's his girlfriend putting on a female-led version of Macbeth. And Barry is in the dressing room just like slamming shit around. Like he can't get this guy's image out of his head. He's so grief-stricken knowing that he left a woman without a husband, a child without a father, and it was one of his good friends that he served with. He comes out tearfully and says, "The queen is dead." A famous line in Macbeth. And he walks away. And she used his performance, what everyone felt was just a performance, as a way to get ahead in getting an agent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a raw performance. The man is tormented. End of spoiler, by the way. He is so tormented in the series. And you know he just wants to be better. It's like rooting for Walter White, but he's not a narcissist, nor is he an egomaniac. He's just a trained hitman, knowing only to cover his tracks and not get caught, while trying to move forward in his life and deal with multiple people that still want to hire him and find him in situations where he has to take the jobs. That's a whole series. But it's a brilliant series that I think deserves more attention, despite all the attention it gets, deserves more attention because it's just that great. That's fine. And that took me, 7 minutes. So I think I was on par with cutting down a little bit on my list. What's your next one, buddy? Or do you have any thoughts or what?
Well, what I will always praise Barry. Always. It is an amazing show. It got Henry Winkler an Emmy.
Oh yeah, you know what? It's like a re-establishing of Henry Winkler because it's not that he's not been busy, but in the eyes of cinema, he's not really done much on television or film. He's been more like stage.
Mama Knows won't hurt her.
But he's Have you watched the newest season, this last season?
Yeah.
The twists and turns in this show. My God. Like, and that last scene, man, like, damn.
I think, and this is not going to be spoilery, that last scene in Barry, everything. We're talking about acting, everything.
It was on full display.
Was on full display through the facial expressions of everybody in the room.
Yeah, there was not, in the last 5 minutes of the last season of Barry, not one word was spoken. Not a single word. And for them to get everything across, and you know what, there's every emotion in this last 5 minutes of this last episode of season three, building towards season four, not a single word is said, but every emotion is on full display. It is such a profound season. Probably, I would have to say, one of my top three season finales of all time.
It was beautiful.
Like, just, it was just bravo, man. And directed, like,
by Bill Hader.
Yes. Directed and actually co-written by Bill Hader. Yeah, he did a lot. Like, I think he's like the lead person on the show, not just the actor, but the lead person on the show, next to the people with the money. Isn't he like one of the creators of the show too?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
But
co-creator.
Can we talk about Barry and his mentor though? I think it's like the first season where that little girl is sitting on the front yard and they're staring at her and she just runs and climbs up the tree really quick and runs over the, like, on the roof. They're like, the hell is she? she's not human.
That's the thing about Barry. It's it buries you with emotion, but it also lifts you up with this zany comedy.
Yeah, that's it's like, I think the first episode of season three actually has one of the Chechens in the show, one of the gangs. He's getting questioned. This guy's hysterical in the show. This show is like the rated R Scrubs to me without the hospital, because it builds up to such a tensious point. There's so much going on. You can't handle anymore. And then something so stupid happens. Like you said, Zany, there's something so dumb. It's like Dumb and Dumber choices that just makes the whole thing hysterical. And you crack the hell up. Like this, the Chechen guy is getting questioned by the cops. And he's getting ready to go in. He's like, oh yes, my first interrogation. I'm so excited. I'm so nervous. Like, it just goes in. Like, it's such a Mel Brooks performance. It was like, well, yeah, so these people, like, oh yeah, no, nothing happened there. It's like, how do you know? Well, they were all dead. How would you know they were all dead if you weren't there? What? But you know, it's such a great show. I really love it. But what's your next one? Who's your next one?
Sorry, I started pulling up footage of NoHo Hank.
Great, that's on the fucking show. That's phenomenal.
Well, you started talking about it, and then I had to see it. By the way, Stephen Root, another guy that can. I mean, this show is full of people just breaking.
I'll be right back. I'll get some napkins. You can watch the playback later on. 1 second. I'll be right back. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Do my thing? Do my thing, he says. He abandons this show in the middle of a discussion, and he says, do your thing. Well, my thing is, well, hell, I don't know. I'm not going to wait for him to come back. Stupid.
All right.
Hey.
Sorry. You mentioned NoHo Hank, and I was like thinking of something with him. When he said that, like, look at something with NoHo Hank, I actually spit up like half my damn tea while I was drinking it. And got on my chair, my jeans, and everything else. So
I was very seriously considered just playing a clip and being.
I say we go for it.
You think so?
I think so. Go for it. See what happens. We've never done it before. Here's a clip from Barry.
Okay, here we go. Let me get it set up.
Eventually.
I spoke to the elders, told them we needed more men. LA is us, Akmal, and Yandar. It's four guys.
Well, SEAL Team 6 only has six guys, and they have their own TV show.
Hey, the cops are outside. They want to speak to you.
Well, you guys knew this was going to happen. This one, for all the marbles.
You have your story straight?
Yeah. This is my first interrogation, you know? I'm, like, legit nervous.
All right. If we don't hear from you in 2 hours, we will all take cyanide pills.
What? Ciao, babies.
Wait, what?
Yeah, monastery shooting. I heard about that.
Heard about it. But you weren't there.
No.
Well, we heard that you were there.
I wasn't, because no one survived.
How would you know that if you weren't there?
I saw it on Citizen app.
Can you tell me what that pin says?
It says the death has been paid.
Huh? Any idea where we found it?
Well, they do kind of at the banks back home.
Hank.
You have to pay your debts.
Well, we found that one in the trunk of a car next to a detective's dead body.
Wow. Wow. What the fuck? That's just super fucked up, you know? What does this have to do with monastery?
Okay.
He's such a great character.
This is why Barry is. Yeah, we're probably going to get a strike for this episode, but you know
what? Can you pull up the clip of Barry actually reacting to his friend's death? To show the show the difference in like the comedic side versus the more. Him killing his friend. Now, there's no music, so hopefully we won't get a strike because there's no music in either one of these scenes. That's the other thing. Barry doesn't use a lot of music. It's almost like a raw show. There's very little actual music when it comes to stuff like this. There's no volume. There's no volume.
What we need to do is we need to relax.
I cannot live like this, okay? We could go to jail.
No, the only way anyone's going to jail is to go to the cops.
Nobody would have expected this from Bill Hader.
No, never, man. No, not once.
Go after your family.
Just look at him, man.
Don't go after your kid. He'll kill them.
And this is even like this is still Bill Hader being Bill Hader.
Quiet and safe.
But once he transitions.
Okay, what if I just turn myself in? Okay, they wouldn't know anything about you. Nothing about you.
We're linked on Facebook, Chris. I met your wife. You go to the cops, they'll figure it out. They'll find me.
No, they won't, because they won't know anything.
They'll find out about me, they'll find out about Fuchs, they'll find out about the acting class. Everyone will be dead.
Well, I don't fucking care, Barry. I killed the guy. Okay, now you might be cool with this shit, but I'm not. I got a wife and I got a kid, okay? And then she fucking knew. She knew something was up. When I came home, she knew it. And then I lied to her and I told her that I was going to the gym just now. But when I go back, she's going to know. She's going to know something is up, okay? And it's going to come out.
Can I say, like, the acting for both these actors is amazing?
Okay, no, they are definitely feeding each other.
And, like, with him, I've only ever seen him in The Girl Next Door, and he was such a joke character in that movie, too. But shit.
Okay, here's Barry.
Yep.
Why did you Facebook me, dude? You're a fucking hitman, and then you fucking Facebooked me.
Why'd you just say that?
I was talking. He mentioned he's going to go to the cops, by the way, everybody. That look, man.
You know what? It's cool. I can keep quiet.
My God.
And I didn't tell my wife. I was going to the gym. I told her that I was coming to see you.
See, this show utilizes the silence so much. And it's so effective.
I know you're not going to do anything. I know you're a good guy. So I'm gonna drop you off. And I'm gonna keep my fat trap shut. And then, you know, I promise you. No one will ever know anyway. Wait.
My God. And ladies and gentlemen, that is his best friend. His best friend in that show. Damn.
It really reminds me of one of the later seasons of Breaking Bad.
Yes. Yes.
Walter and Hank are, you know, being held by the... but whatever those guys were.
Yeah, by the meth heads and everything else in the desert, right?
Yeah, and Hank says, yes. You really didn't think they were going to let me live, did you?
Yep.
When it's like everything he made a bit- just falls in, you think there's hope, but yep. You see it in their eyes. No, we're past that.
Yep. Absolutely, yeah. So who do you have next on your block?
Well, Jesus, I don't know. I mean, we just risked getting, you know, copyright strikes to show that brilliance and talk about it.
Well, you see, I don't think that we'll actually get, we're not like monetizing off of this. So if we get a copyright strike, we actually probably fight it. It's more like a live reaction to the show, if anything.
I'll even say, I don't know how often you watch the movie Potluck, but movie clips are a common occurrence on the movie Potluck, and I am frequently fighting copyright claims there.
Okay.
Because it is, they talk about, you know, Jen deconstructs movie scenes and talks about what makes it tick.
Okay. Well, then.
That's what the movie about like is. I think
about this. How about this, guys? Studios, we do not own the rights to any of the clips that we've shown, and we are not monetizing off of showing them. But Bill Hader, if you ever see this, dude, I am so proud of you for making such a profound show. Thank you very much. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. So.
It is, but a masterclass. But I guess I have to go on to my last. My last one.
Yep.
Because, damn, that was... Talking about Barry is one thing. Seeing Barry in action, that's a different story.
Yep. Because
my last one is Daniel Radcliffe.
Okay.
This is a guy that was a kid playing Harry Potter.
Yeah, he broke the mold, too.
That's who he was. He was Harry Potter. And for the longest time, unfortunately, people were saying that's all he's going to be known for.
Nope.
And while he hasn't yet found that Harry Potter breaking character, that film, that show that would fully release him from, what was it, 8 Harry Potter movies?
Yeah, I think so, yes. 8. Yeah, 8.
From just a performance standpoint, he has managed to completely redirect his career. Everything from Swiss Army Man to Guns Akimbo.
Guns Akimbo. I love that movie.
He's
so great.
Man, the guy can do literally everything.
Well, and he's also about to play Weird Al. So
and he's about to play Weird Al.
And he looks so much like him. Like, he looks so much like old school Weird Al. It's like, it's scary.
And it's like, what, Weird Al's, that's going to be on Roku, right?
No, I think it's theatrical, man.
It'll be something if it is.
I'm pretty sure Weird Al's going to be theatrical.
But
it deserves to be. It's Weird Al. We need one.
I don't really know how I can break down Daniel Radcliffe any better than you broke down Bill Hader. It's quite frankly, it's unfair.
Well, no, it's not. Daniel Radcliffe in Swiss Army Man was limited as for those of you who've never seen this, he plays a corpse that washes up on an island that another person has deserted on. What was the actor's name that the other actor he played, the Riddler, the Batman, the new Riddler?
It's Paul Dano.
Paul Dano, that's right. So Paul Dano plays like the character that's like pretty much marooned on an island, and he's trying to escape, and he can't use anything, but he sees a corpse. And it turns out, like, in his mind, he's imagining this corpse that has an affinity for flatulence, which comes in handy in the movie. Mm-hmm. But the corpse, in his imagination, starts being able to speak to him because he's marooned. So he's imagining these conversations, but the corpse can only speak, Daniel Radcliffe, can only speak or respond in just basic sentences. The most basic responses possible. But the entire time, Daniel Radcliffe doesn't move a damn muscle. He's a corpse. He's not running around or anything like that. He's laying there. Think of Weekend at Bernie's, he's Bernie. That's it. But he's responding on the most basic primal level possible. And he did an amazing job. Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano, those two, I will love to see them do something else together because that movie was just brilliant to me.
I think that's going to be going on my watch again soon.
I saw it a few nights ago. I love that movie. Absolutely love it.
It's on Showtime. I don't have Showtime.
But Guns Akimbo is another one. He did a great job on that. Horns. He did an okay job in Horns. There's a TV show. I think it got canceled. But he played a priest or a preacher or something like that, like traveling on a trail with a bunch of like frontiersmen. But it was kind of like a musical kind of thing. I forget the name of it. But he was hysterical in that. It didn't last long, but he was hysterical. But you know, he has a humor about himself too.
Yeah,
and that's what I love about Daniel Radcliffe. He does great. So. But Bill Hader, Bill Hader's been around much longer.
Mm-hmm.
But with Bill Hader, he's also been able. He's been so much more. Well, I guess they both been like typecast into certain roles for a couple of years.
Yeah, but Bill Hader was the weird guy.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't really have much else either. Like that's pretty much like the end of my list. So. People, everyone that we mentioned tonight, check them out. Like, really, just check out the references we gave you. They're amazing. They really are. So, but yeah, Here. I'm going to get going, though, because it is that time for me.
Yeah.
But everybody, be Jaxman 1982 on Instagram, The Wodcast on Instagram, The Wodcast on Facebook, where we have our Facebook Lives. And most importantly, the Facebook.com or WodcoMedia.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out.
Got a nice new website up for WodcoMedia.com.
I saw. I like it. I really do. Looks good.
Got to thank for those of you who remember from way back in the day when Simicore Studios first started. You might remember Kevin. Well, he's the one that's responsible for designing the website.
Kevin did a great job.
I think so.
So, Kevin, jump on over to like thewodcast.com and help us out there too, brother.
He doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, do more free unpaid work. Come on.
So we're very, very happy to have fallen under, at the very least, pet project status.
Yes.
For a very talented fella.
Yep.
Well, we hit your socials, I guess. You could always find me on Twitter, at SkidComic. Or you can go to any of these fine places that I am... throwing up now. Here we go. Go to those places. You'll find out everything you need to and more about what we do. Next week, by the way, the movie potluck is going to be about disaster flicks. And I guarantee you're going to see this at some point. For those of you listening to the audio version, it's a cow flying.
Oh my God.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
And also, within the next couple of weeks, there's going to be an announcement about our new show. From the mind of Jen, the creator and host of the movie Potluck, is something new coming your way. So be sure to be on the lookout at those Facebook pages and whatnots for that announcement.
Okay.
In the meantime, I guess you know what time it is.
Yep.
You love it so much.
Do we have different music?
How's that? Okay, how about this? I mean, they're all equally terrible, so...
Just do your thing.
Sorry, this is the one that inspires me. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us in the Wodcast here tonight. It's been episode number 94. It's been quite a fun episode. Hopefully it doesn't get pulled from the internet forever. But the thing to remember, the thing that I tell you to do at the end of each and every episode is, remember this. The only thing, the only person standing between you and your dreams is you. When you want to start creating. Don't ask for permission. You got a phone, start shooting film. You got pen and pad, start writing down anything. And you got to start today. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. And if you keep waiting until tomorrow, well, it never comes, to be perfectly honest, because no matter what, it's always today. So that's when you start. Not later today, you need to start now. Write down your ideas. Start fleshing out your path. Because you are in control of your destiny. Yeah. This has been the Wodcast, episode number 94. I'm Josh, that's Brandon. I hope you all had a good time tonight. In the meantime, we'll be back next week with episode number 95, right here, where all of your favorite Wodcast shows are. So we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Good night, everybody.